Good morning. Thank you. It's good to be back here, although I'll have to say I've enjoyed just sitting in the audience every week, appreciating the work that the teachers do. And I was reminded again this week as I was preparing that it is a lot of work. So thank you, those of you that teach regularly, Sherry and Ann and Christina. They give a lot of time before they get up here. And sometimes when it all just kind of comes together, you think, well, how on earth could that have taken very long? But these little papers represent a lot of hours. We're going to be on a theme today that I really enjoyed, a psalm that is precious. And on your tables, Psalm 91 is written out. I'd love you all to take one. That is my PowerPoint. I'm still a little behind times. So we will use that as our PowerPoint today. But I want to ask you a question as I start out this morning. Who or what do you fear? When it's dark, especially in the middle of the night, where do your thoughts go? Do they go to your fears, real or imagined, or do they tend to go to Jesus, our shepherd? I want to ask you and have you answer me, what are some of the fears that we face a lot? Let's just name some. What are some fears that we have to deal with?
Illness.
Economy.
What?
Uncertainty, that's for sure.
Safety of our children.
The future. Rejection.
Weight gain.
That's a great one. That is funny and so true. So real. Any more? Okay, well, you could name many others. It's not hard to come up with them, is it? And they probably a lot just came to your mind as I said that. And I like the title of our lesson in our book today that says, The Lord Our Shepherd, the Protection We Need. We need protecting from many things, but we're going to mostly dwell on the fears that we need protection from in this lesson. Ann talked last week about the guidance we need, finding God's will. And I listened to her on the internet when I was gone. It was so fun to hear my friend talking. It's easier to hear someone else than hear yourself, that's for sure. But I thought one thing we can fear is not knowing God's will. And I loved what Ann said when she said the best way to find out the will of God is to do the will of God. Isn't that true? And so today I want to focus on how we do God's will by going to our shepherd and trusting that he is always there, even in the midst of our deepest valleys, in the midst of our greatest fears. The main point I want you to remember, me to remember today, is even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That is the promise. And from the psalm, God is our refuge and our fortress, our God in whom we can trust. And I was thinking, trust is such an antidote to fear. Trusting our shepherd, our Lord, is the key to being protected from our fears, from the calamity that they bring upon us. And so I chose, there were a lot of great psalms in our lesson today, but I happen to love Psalm 91. And I know many of you do. Many believers throughout the centuries probably have loved it, memorized it, used it a lot. My clearest recollection of using part of this psalm, 91 was especially the first two verses, when I was asked many years ago to give a sermon at Mariners Church. And women don't give sermons there, but Kenton had asked me to do the wife's role in marriage, and some of you were there. And that was my biggest speaking experience by far. And I can remember reading these verses that morning before I had to get up there, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I pictured myself as I got up in front that I was actually kind of God's wings and his shadow were around me, and I was in his shadow. And so even though I was up there, I was only in God's shadow, and that really helped take away at least most of the fear. Another example is I chose to climb Mount Whitney. I shared that at the beginning of the semester with Anne went with me. It was a hard, scary climb. But we were so reminded as we climbed, as we looked at those huge, solid cliffs and mountains, just straight up, high, high mountains, that God is our rock and our fortress. And we saw glimpses of his power and his might and his majesty, and reminded us that he was powerful enough to protect us from any experiences or from our own fears. One more example, I just came home, as Ann said, from visiting my parents in Kentucky. My mom's in a nursing home, and I've been going there about every 3 months, so I'm getting to know quite a few of the, I call them the inmates. And it feels like that, because it is a prison, because they are prisoners entrapped in ailing bodies and ailing minds. And perhaps they are in a very dark valley. Death is close. They don't always know where they are. They don't know who they are. And they're just waiting to die. And my question always is when I go, was, why, Lord? Why are they still here? Why is my mom, who has been such a servant, still in this situation? I don't know the answer, but I know God is there in that valley. And there's a dear woman in that nursing home named Cleo. And she, my mom roomed with her when she first went there. Now my mom has her own room. But she's always smiling, always pleasant. So I always talk to her, and I asked her this time, Cleo, what is your secret to being so content and so peaceful? And I said, can I ask how old you are, first of all? She goes, I don't know. But she told me when she was born. And so I figured out she was 92. And she said, well, what choice do I have, was her first thing. And then she said, I've chosen to just accept it and be happy. And I thought, what a beautiful thing. But then she got a little twinkle in her eye, and she said, and I know what is coming in the future, and I'm looking for that. And I said, you're going to be in heaven with Jesus, aren't you? And she said, yes, I am. And I had a really dear talk with my mom when she was in one of her most lucid moments, talking about this psalm, walking through the valley of the shadow. And I said, Mom, that's where you are, but you're going to be with Jesus soon, and I will be there with you not too much longer after that. And this seems so long now, but it will be short in the light of eternity. And that was just such a precious time to think of what that means in that case of walking through the valley of the shadow of death in that case. So here are three totally different situations where I needed to trust my shepherd. And of course, all of you in this room could share about a valley, many valleys you've been in or are in right now, and the fears that they bring. And so I pray this morning that God's word will minister to each of us, not with just nice platitudes or verses we've heard a lot of times, but that the word would penetrate your heart and mine and have us really have a life-changing thing where we can take those verses and apply them and help us not fear, to go to God. I want God's word to be, as it says in Hebrews, alive and active, like a sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating my heart and yours this morning. So let's look with new eyes on this Psalm 91 that we love. It was probably written by a priest to be sung in the temple. I don't know the author. And I'm just going to kind of go through some of these verses and make comments. I'm not going to talk about every issue in the psalm. We won't have time for that. But just to have us look at it a little bit differently. Verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Our God is called here the Most High, Almighty. In the Hebrew name, that is El Shaddai. You've probably heard of that. The mighty king, the sovereign judge of the world. The author of this psalm recognizes who God is and that he is our protector, able to protect us from anything. And he goes on to name all the things he can protect us from. So as we go through this, I thought an exercise that would be good to do is just circle every word that says who God is or what he does. We'll just make it come more alive. And then if you wanted to, maybe do a square or something on our part. What is our part in this? Mostly it's God's part, but we have a part too. Verse 2, where it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, or a shelter, my God in whom I trust. And I think of the word shelter, of running to something that protects us. Maybe when it's raining, even if it's lightly raining outside, we run in so we won't get our hair wet. And if there's a big storm, we run even faster. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if every time we had a fear, we ran to God as fast as we could with that fear. And the bigger the fear, the faster we would run instead of worrying about it. That's just a wonderful promise. verses 3 through 8 as we look into the psalm, then talk about the evils that God delivers us from when we trust in him. And it says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Some of these words are hard to understand. A fowler's snare is a trap, and I thought so often Satan sets traps to get us, to hurt us, to defeat us. Deadly pestilence could just be diseases, plain straight diseases that come in. Sometimes we're protected from those. I love the picture of a mother bird covering her babies with her wings, and I had a beautiful picture of that that I wish I could show this morning, but I couldn't find it. But isn't that a neat picture? You have this mighty God, and then you have him pictured as a loving bird just putting his wings around us. And I just think that is so precious. It says his faithfulness will be your shield and buckler or rampart are two words that are used here. And it could be that God holds a shield out in front of us to protect us. The buckler or rampart, they don't really know what that word means except it's some kind of an armor or a protection. And I thought also God has given us a shield. Not only does he shield us, but we have a shield in the armor of God. The shield represents the faith that can extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. Satan loves to get our eyes off Jesus. And one of the good ways he can do that is to get us to fear, because fear brings it all back to ourselves, keeps us from trusting. So we have this shield to protect us from the fear and the darts of Satan. 5 and 6 say, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. So this is kind of a poetic thing. It's day and night, day and night. And I love the thing, we won't fear the terror of night, because again, don't we have trouble? And some of you guys that are getting old like me, we don't sleep as well. And isn't it the time at night when our thoughts go, and they usually go on a downward spiral? And God can protect us from that, our thoughts, when we can't sleep. The arrows by day, I was thinking of those as just straight arrows that we get hit by people all day that hurt us, barbs that come in, and that can just take us down. God can protect us from that. The pestilence that stalks in the darkness. He keeps talking about darkness. Darkness is scary, isn't it? And I love that Jesus brings light. God is there, but what this basically is saying, that God is there morning, noon, and night. He's always with us. And we studied Psalm 139 a few weeks ago, and it says that we can't flee from God. Wherever we go, he is there. And I think Dave actually spoke on that one Sunday. It can be a terrifying thing if you don't want God there, but it's a very comforting thing to know he is with us. And verse 4 of 139 Psalm says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I thought that's such a beautiful thought. When you're in a dark place and need light, it's just so wonderful. And we were hiking down Mount Whitney. We ended up hiking 3 hours in the dark, which we hadn't planned on. But we had brought headlamps, and we just so thought of that as Jesus lighting our path, because without those, we would have, who knows what would happen to us. So light is wonderful when you're in darkness. 7 and 8, it says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. This reminds me of a passage that a man named Pastor Adrian, I used in a sermon. He spoke here at Grace a few weeks ago. And he's from Sri Lanka and runs amazing ministries over there. And he told us of a situation of a woman who was in the government that was trying to shut down probably one of their major ministries, which was what, Anne? The home for orphans, of all things. And she was doing everything to get it to close down. And they tried every means through the government and law to not have that happen, and nothing worked. And so, as he said, they decided they should pray. And so they just got together and prayed and prayed and prayed. And right before the thing was supposed to happen, this lady got removed from the government physician, and she came to them and said, "I know why I did it. It's because of you. You were praying." She got it. And I just love that story. But he said it had reminded him of a story in 2 Chronicles 20 that tells the story of King Jehoshaphat of Judah. And someone came to him and said, "A vast army is coming against you. They're going to destroy you." And that would cause a lot of fear for a leader and his people. But what he did, he ran to God immediately and prayed. And he called all the people and said, "Let's seek the Lord." And they prayed together, bowing before the Lord. He understood God's power and understood God was strong enough to overcome this vast army if God chose to do that. A prophet then rose up and spoke the Lord's words to them and said, "Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's." Isn't that a great promise? The battle is not yours, but God's. And we can say that. And then he told them, gave them instructions and said, "Just go out tomorrow and face your enemies and see what God will do." And that would take a lot of faith too, just to obey that. But they did, went out, and they actually went out worshiping and praising God before they knew what the result was going to be. And I love that part. And when they went out, all the enemies had been killed without them fighting at all. It's an unusual story. We don't see things like that too much, but it worked for Pastor Adrian. And it's good for us to remember that even in the midst of our valleys, we can trust God. Know that the battle is His. And I love the part that we can praise and worship Him before we know the results. And I don't do very well in that. When I'm in the midst of it, that's not my natural tendency to worship and praise. But I would sure like to do that better and encourage us that will change our heart. So as we continue on with this psalm, I want to give a little side note that I got from a commentary, because I was having a little problem reading all these things, thinking, they're not always true, are they? We don't get rescued from all these things. One commentary said that if the Psalms were addressing every situation of danger, it would clearly be untrue. Faithful people do get hurt and sick and killed and many other perils. But the psalmist is so exuberant and so excited about the Lord has done that he makes these extreme statements that are true, that it means it's possible for God to defend His own in cases of seemingly unescapable dangers. And frequently He does so, and other times He doesn't. And this is a quote from him: "The verses state not what must necessarily happen, but what God can bring to pass." So that was kind of helpful in reading it. And at the end of my talk, I'm going to deal with more what happens when God doesn't protect us and when we are in the valleys and we're not delivered miraculously. So just with that in mind, he goes on. The psalmist is so excited about the Lord. And in verses 9 through 13, he says, "If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." We love these verses for our Mount Whitney hike, especially when it says no disaster will come near your tent, because we were tenting out in a pretty wild place. But my favorite part in this section is about angels guarding us. Have you ever felt like you were protected by an angel? How many feel like you've had those experiences? It'd be fun. Wow, so almost all of you. It would be fun to be able to have time to tell those stories right now. But I guess I get to tell them since I'm up here. Two really clear ones came to mind. I do a lot of biking, as I've said before, and we were biking on the Coast Highway many years ago, four of us. And we were coming into Corona Del Mar, and we never stopped there, ever. And one person said, "I'm hot, I want to take off our jacket." So all four of us stopped. And it was just almost like, why are we stopping here? And right after that, this van had driven by us, and we had noticed it because wood was sticking out of the back end of it. And right after it passed us, it rolled about four times, crashed into the field, and there were young Hispanic workers in the back that were getting all tumbled with the wood. And, you know, we were first ones there to see them crawl out. But what we realized is if we had kept on, it would have hit all of us and killed us probably. And I will love in heaven to see a replay of that, because I think there was a huge angel saying, stop. And that was just such a clear example of God's protection. And one other one that just happened, my husband about a month ago was thinking he's still really young, and he was balancing up on about an 8-foot fence trying to cut down a big branch of a tree with a sharp instrument, and he slipped. I wasn't home, and he fell down the 8-foot, and we have sort of a waterfall there that kind of goes in, and then it has a wall up, and he had to have fallen in it, out of it, and he landed 10 feet away on his back on the patio brick pavement on his head. And I came home a little bit later, and he said he was up still working. He said, I just need to tell you what happened. And he can't really remember, and there's no way in the world he couldn't have gotten super hurt. He did hurt his back a little bit. But on these verses that said the angels will lift you up in their hands, I think God, the angels, just lifted him up and landed him more gently. And so we were very grateful. God doesn't always do that. He could have been really hurt, but in this case, I believe the angels were protecting him. And I think, wouldn't it be neat, with all of you knowing those stories, if our eyes, spiritual eyes, could be opened right now, and we could see, even in this room, who the angelic host that might be watching each of us and taking care of us. In heaven, we're going to get to see that. We certainly prayed for God's protection when we were hiking down Mount Whitney, especially in the dark. And I found this great verse. You might have read it in our lesson, but it was so perfect. It says, you broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles don't turn. Did you hear that? How specific can that be? I didn't know that verse at the time, but I love that. We end this beautiful psalm with God doing the speaking now, speaking to us. So I want to read it, and I want to personalize it, and I want you to put your name in where I'm going to put mine, because as I did that, it meant so much more. So look at Psalm, verse 14. Because Terry loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue her. I will protect Terry, for she acknowledges my name. Terry will call upon me, and I will answer her. I will be with Terry in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life, I will satisfy Terry and show her my salvation. Because Anne loves me, says the Lord, because Joyce does, because Keith does. And just put your name in there. Doesn't that make it more meaningful? Write your name in there, because he loves you, because God says, I love you, I will rescue you. I just think that is so beautiful. What is our part in this? As I see it, to love him. Other translations say, hold fast to him, cling to him. And I like that clinging, thinking of a little child clinging on to his mom's arm. And that's what God wants us to do. And he will rescue us. God will protect us, because we acknowledge or know his name. I love that. Knowing God's name means knowing his character. A great exercise is to go through all the names of God and see how they minister to us. And just in this section, Psalm 91, if you've been circling who he is, it talks about God as the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, my God. And there's so many names of God that we can say to ourselves. In John, we're told that the sheep know their shepherd. Maybe they don't know his name, like we know God's name, but they know his voice. John 10:4 says, the shepherd goes before the sheep, and they follow him because they know his voice. As we come to know the shepherd, we can discern his voice. Just as Anne was saying, we can discern his will. The more time we spend with him, we will know his voice above all others, and that causes us to trust him. We can call upon him, and he will answer. He'll be with us in trouble. If a shepherd cares for his little sheep, who are pretty dumb animals so much, think how much more God will care for you as a human. I think Christina said that in one of her talks. So in these verses, we see he rescues us, protects us, answers us, is with us in trouble, delivers us, and honors us. The God of the universe does this for us, for me. A good shepherd, a real shepherd, does all of this for his sheep. Sheep need a lot of help, and so do we. And I'm wondering, I have learned some really interesting things from this book. The shepherd looks at Psalm 23, and I learned something of what a cast sheep is. Does anyone know what a cast sheep is? I didn't either. A cast sheep is one who has overturned. They can flip over easily. And once they flip over and are lying on their back, they can't get up. It's like a turtle. But you wouldn't think a sheep would be like that. And it's a very pathetic sight to see a poor little sheep on his back, flailing his legs, trying to get up and not able to. He will die soon if someone doesn't come, if a shepherd doesn't come and turn him over. Do you ever feel like a cast sheep flailing on her back? The shepherd is on the lookout all the time for a cast sheep because he doesn't want to lose them. And so when he counts his sheep and he finds one missing, he goes out and searches for them because he knows they could be on their back. And when he finds them, he doesn't get angry with them and tell them, you shouldn't be like this. He turns them over. And sometimes he has to massage their legs to get the feeling back into it. And he speaks kindly to them and then sets them on their way. And I think that is such a beautiful picture that our Savior comes to find us and rescue us when we're in the valleys, when we're in fear, when we're in trouble. He's not angry with us, but he puts us upright, talking gently to us and sets us on the right path. I just think that's such a beautiful picture. And there's a psalm that says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? And I wonder if this relates to this a little bit. And it says, hope in God who will rescue you. So think about a sheep on his back. Sometimes we feel that way and our shepherd will come and turn us over. Psalm 91 ends with the last part says, with a long life, I will satisfy him. It's not true that all of us get to live long lives, but there's a great verse right in the next Psalm 92, 14 that says, especially to us that are a little bit older in this room, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. So ladies, those of us that are in our later years, we still can be green and full of sap. How's that? And sappy. The final sentence in there, he says, I will show you my salvation. And this is such a promise that we can all claim. God will show all of us his salvation. It's a wonderful gift that will include both our physical deliverance and spiritual deliverance. So what a wonderful ending to a beautiful psalm. It's a great one that we can trust in, cling to, and memorize. But I want to finish my talk today with going back to the 23rd Psalm, because what if these things weren't true in our lives? We weren't saved from some of these things, and our friends weren't, or our loved ones were not. And we feel we're still in the valley of the shadow of death, and we don't feel like we've been rescued. We're suffering. And some of you are there this morning, I'm sure. What comfort can Psalm 23, especially verse 4, give us? From this book, again, I have gained so much knowledge of the sheep and the shepherd, and it's helped me understand this psalm. And it says in here that each summer a good shepherd will take his flock up to the mountaintops, to the high country, to find food. And during this trek, the flock are totally alone with their shepherd. They have an intimate contact with him and get his personal attention day and night. But to get to the mountaintops, they have to go through the valleys, which have much danger. And David, who wrote the psalm, was a shepherd. And so he understands about this journey. He understands its dangers and its joys. He had studied the terrain where he lived. He never took his flock where he had not already gone before. He was aware of all the dangers, like the floods and avalanches and predators and storms of sleet and hail and snow. And they didn't take him by surprise. He was fully prepared to protect his flock. And I want to just read one page out of this because it says it so much better than I can. He said, all of this about the shepherd taking them up to the highlands is brought in beautiful simplicity in the verse 4 of Psalm 23. Here is a grandeur, a quietness, an assurance that sets the soul at rest. I fear no evil, for you are with me. With me in every situation, in every dark trial, in every dismal disappointment, in every distressing dilemma. And this part's so interesting. In the Christian life, we often speak of wanting to move on to higher ground with God, don't we? Camp experiences are like that. How we long to live above the lowlands of life. We want to get beyond the common crowd to enter a more intimate walk with God. We speak of mountaintop experiences, and we envy those who have ascended the heights and entered into this more sublime sort of life, or how we think they were like that. Often we get an erroneous idea of how this takes place. It is as though we imagined we could be airlifted onto some higher ground. I wish we could. On the rough trail of the Christian life, this is not so. As with ordinary sheep management, so with God's people, one only gains higher ground by climbing up through the valleys. Every mountain has its valleys. Any sheepman familiar with the high country knows this. He leads his flock gently but persistently up the paths that wind through the dark valleys. It should be noticed that the verse states, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," does not say I die there or stop there, but rather I walk through. And even in death, we just walk through, because we walk through right into heaven. So to get to the higher ground that we would all like to, we have to be in the valleys. Jesus, our shepherd, has gone before us, as David did with his sheep. He's experienced all that we're feeling, and he's not taken by surprise by the storms and the things that hit us in the valleys. So we can trust him because of that in the midst of our pain and suffering, even in death. And it was neat to be able to talk to my mom about that just as I left her this trip. For those of you that might be in the valleys right now, or wherever or when you are, because we know we'll be there, they will come, we can look at them as a road to the to higher ground. I love thinking of it that way. And that's definitely not my normal perspective. This lesson has helped me with that. But think about the sheep being alone with their shepherd during this valley time, this intimate time. And maybe we can use these valley times to get refreshment from our Savior alone. Many describe times in their deep valley as some of the most precious times, where they feel like they were just carried in God's arms, and they almost hated to leave the valley because they didn't have quite that same feeling. So I love that picture of just in those times to get our refreshment from our Savior. Three things I kind of see just from this briefly is, first of what I just said, learn to let Jesus feed us his refreshment. Secondly, know that what you're learning in this valley will make you a great comforter to other people. There's no one that can help you better than someone that's been through what you're going through. And we wish we didn't have to do that. My friend Cindy that lost a child, I use her as an example a lot. She would have her daughter back in a second. She died when she was 23, but she has ministered and continues to minister to people that she doesn't even know that have lost children. And she, in a way that I can't ever empathize, can do that. So as we're in the valleys, know that God can use that time for us to comfort others and enrich all of our Christian lives by that. And the third reason that a shepherd takes the sheep through the valleys to higher ground instead of maybe going way around is that generally that's where the best food is along the route. Despite the hardships and pain, our shepherd knows that these times will grow us, that we will get food for growth, and he's with us to give us his strength and courage. When we are there, we can look back, when we're through it, I should say, and see his guidance and provision. And it just reminded me again of that beautiful poem that I think we're all familiar with, Footsteps in the Sand, that ends with the person saying, "God, I don't understand why in the time of trouble, when I needed you the most, you should leave me." The Lord, our shepherd, replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you and would never leave you during that time of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." I think that's so appropriate for this lesson today. There's another great verse that I found in Isaiah 42:10 that says, "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them." Isn't that a beautiful verse? Isaiah 42:10. It's a picture of God being our shepherd again, just like the shepherd takes the sheep. So to end today, I just want to say again, even though I walk through the valley, I will not fear, for you are with me. Wouldn't that be a beautiful way to live? Not to be panicked, fearful, but to recognize our shepherd is with us. And instead of fearing, run to him. Dwell in his shelter and find refuge under his wings. We have all had and will have
valleys in our lives that are fearful. And we talked about fear at the beginning. We have lots of fears, lots of things to be afraid of. But we have a shepherd who lovingly cares for us, protects us, honors us, enables us to come through the valley stronger and closer to him, and plants our feet on higher ground. I love that promise. And I had a wonderful visual of that this morning. I was up early finishing this, and it was dark, and I looked out, and it was fog covering the ocean in Fashion Island, and I don't love fog, and I thought, not again. And my husband came in early, and he said, I've got a beautiful sight for you to see. Come outside. And we went out, and just above the fog, which I couldn't see from where I was sitting, the sky was totally clear, and the stars were so bright, brighter than they usually are in our area. And it was just a reminder that I was looking at the valley in the fog, and God had so much more and this beautiful gift for me. And I think in our life, because if we can trust him, we can have the starry sky sort of and not have to be living in the fog. And just such a great promise. So I just want to close by thanking God for that. Lord, thank you that you are our shepherd, that you care for us much more than a shepherd cares for his sheep. And thank you that you can protect us. You're able, you are almighty God, to protect us from our fears. If we will come to you, Lord, help us run to you, to give our fears to you. And Lord, help us to learn from the valleys, to see the good in them. And we look forward to as they bring us through the growth that we will have. And we ask for our feet to be planted on higher ground. And we thank you for the promise that can happen on our earth here. And we know that in heaven it will happen forever. And we praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.